So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host, and today our guest is Mike Robbins. I'm very excited to have him back to the program. He was with us a while back and with Big Smash, and we're excited to have you here again. And the topic is around authenticity and how really being authentic is your best marketing advantage. Being yourself is really the way that you're going to get your business out in the world in a big way. So let's take a moment just to create a nice intention for our time together. So if you've been seated all day, it's always nice to stand and just take a nice deep breath. And then just exhale and just soften your knees and relax your shoulders and just kind of come home to your body. Sometimes we're just processing so much in our heads, you know, writing, speaking, doing our business. And this moment is for you. This moment is now. There are many of us that are in this conscious connection for a new way of doing business, a more authentic way of doing business, a better way of being our business, easily and naturally, where our strengths and our gifts just flow. And the people who are just for us are aligned with our strengths and talents and our flow. And we are easily, brilliantly in our gifts. And those who need those gifts, those whom we can serve, can easily spot us. So thank you, everyone, for being here. And this is particularly the topic for today's call. You know, it's being authentically you. You are the most attractive thing about your business. And so I'm really excited to have Mike Robbins back. And Mike is a highly sought-after keynote speaker and trainer and a coach who delivers inspirational keynote addresses and interactive seminars for individuals, entrepreneurs, and groups of all kinds. He speaks regularly throughout the U.S. and Canada, and he's worked with such clients as Wells Fargo, Chevron, Google, New York Life, AT&T, so many others. He's the author of the best-selling book, Focus on the Good Stuff, and Be Yourself, Everyone Else is Already Taken. He's also been featured on ABC News, the Oprah Radio Network, in Forbes, The Washington Post, and many more. He's a regular contributor to The Huffington Post and Oprah.com. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Adela. So glad to be here. Great to connect with you and your wonderful community once again.
Yeah. A community who is hungry for this message because you know, there's a part of us inside that recognizes this, especially when we see other people, some of these people that we're so attracted to,
yes.
You know, leaders, in a thought leaders. Mm-hmm. It's this compelling quality of being totally who they are that is just so attractive.
Yes.
That I wonder if you could just speak to that a little bit.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think if everybody listening thinks of people in their life, whether it's personally or as you're talking about thought leaders or business people that we admire, that we're drawn to, that we respect, there's kind of a common theme that runs through it, and that's a sense of authenticity. And, you know, most of us, I think, Adele, want people around us to be authentic. We want people we do business with to be authentic, to be real. We want, you know, the people we work with, interact with. We want our political leaders and you name it. And it's really easy in our culture to point out when we think someone's being phony or inauthentic. But the thing that we got to start to do, especially in our businesses, especially as we market and promote our services, our products, whatever they are, in whatever capacity we do that, we got to take a look in the mirror and really ask ourselves, am I being authentic? Am I being myself? Or am I being how I think I'm supposed to be, which is often the case for most of us, so that I get what I want, whatever that is? And, you know, it's not as easy as it sounds. We've been saying to people all our lives, and people have been saying to us, just be yourself, just, you know, be you. It's just be. But when the rubber meets the road in life, particularly when we're doing business, particularly when we're marketing and promoting ourselves, it can actually be really challenging for many people I coach and work with and for myself. to be authentic and really be genuine, real, transparent, open, honest. And it's not as though we wake up in the morning assuming we're going to lie and cheat and deceive people, but what ends up happening is the persona that we create, so to speak, doesn't always match up with who we really are. So that's one of the reasons that I wrote my book, Be Yourself, Everyone Else Is Already Taken, is not because I somehow have mastered this thing, which is not fully masterable anyway. As you were saying before we even started the call, it's kind of an ongoing process. There's no destination called authenticity. It's a way of being. It's a way of life. It's a way of doing business. But I wrote the book and talk about it and work with people, all different types of people, on being authentic and real in their lives and their work, because I think it's an ongoing challenge for most of us, but a great path to be on and discover and to go more deeply into, because I think that's what most of us want, and it's what resonates with other people in the most genuine way.
You know, I remember, and I'm just going to use myself an example, but I'm guessing that there's people out there like this too. I'm remembering earlier in my business where, with a very select group, you know, my trusted, you know, clients and my trusted colleagues, I could be myself.
Yes.
Right? But then, when it came to talk about my business to the world at large, like, let's say, in promoting and in marketing, I didn't know how to be myself.
Yeah. Yeah, and I look, Adela, I mean, you're not alone. I'm sure everyone listening can relate to that. I can relate to that. And it's, you know, it's an evolutionary process. And I think when we're first starting in our business, it can be even scarier, even more challenging, because, you know, we're in the kind of fake it till you make it mode. And I think we're in that mode to some degree all the time, but especially early on when we really don't have much of a business going on, if you will. Like, I used to go to I've been, you know, speaking and coaching and training now for the last 10 years, and I remember I used to go to networking events all the time, especially when I first started, and I would come home and say to my then girlfriend, now wife, you know, gosh, it's just so much energy, I just feel like, you know, I'm sort of faking my way through these things. But you know what's funny is then a few years into it, I would also laugh, because as soon as I would start to have a conversation with someone, and I can do this now, and I have a lot of empathy and compassion for it. When someone starts to talk to me about their business, and I'm sure you can relate to this, Adela, and so many people listening, I can tell literally within like the first 20 seconds, not is it, do I like them, are they good, or any of that. It's more just if there really is a business there or not. Do you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
It takes one to know one. Mm-hmm. So when I see someone who starts telling me all these things and I can just feel the energy of it, I can feel with compassion like, wow, they haven't really gotten their business established yet. And again, I don't say that in a condescending way, but one of the things that I often coach people who are early or newer in their business is you don't have to share all your fears and doubts and insecurities, but don't try to pretend you have more going on than you do, because most people, especially if they've been there, which almost everyone has, they'll know right away. So, you know, here's something you can do. If you go, I mean, I know nowadays we're so connected, you know, electronically and by, you know, phone or email or internet or social network, so we're not at as many sort of in-person networking events maybe even as we were 5 or 10 years ago. But if you do go to those events, and many of us do, or we're out meeting people or whatever, it's often a good idea just to be real, just to be honest, just to check in. You know, whenever, even now if I go to a networking event, and I love being around people, I do, but I always have this initial reaction, Adela, when I show up at an event where I'm supposed to sort of be on and really meet people, it's like, I have this feeling of, like, I want to go home. You know, I'm just like, oh, no, I really have to, like, be nice to people and be – and look, and I'm a very genuinely positive person, but there's that fear that shows up, like, oh, maybe people won't like me, maybe it won't go so well, maybe I don't – who knows what. So usually the first person I talk to or the second person I talk to where I feel a sense of I can have kind of a real conversation with them, even though I don't know them, I will say some version of, man, you know, gosh – I feel awkward sometimes at these events. I don't really know what to say, and I sort of feel like I'm supposed to be on and have the right thing to say and some perfect elevator pitch, and I can never figure that out. Does that ever happen to you? And usually they look at me like, are you allowed to say that? You know? It's like, and usually what I'm doing is I'm not trying to dump anything on them, but what I'm trying to do is actually clear that out of my own head and get a little more real and a little more centered and grounded so I can go have more genuine conversations. Because often what shows up for us first in life, particularly when we're marketing our business, is all of our fear and doubt and insecurity and worry and all that noise in our head. And if we don't do anything about it, it will then run the show when we're trying to connect, promote, market, whatever we want to call it. So we got to figure out a way, and I have a number of techniques that I often talk about and teach people. We can talk about a few of them here, to clear that stuff out so that we can actually be more present, more effective, and ultimately more real when we engage with people.
Yeah, and you're speaking to, gosh, I remember this so well, and I remember going to networking meetings and feeling just like this, where I felt like such a phony.
Yes.
I was like, well, what am I doing here pretending that I have a business? I mean, I've got a client here, I've got a client there, I'm just trying to get I'm trying to wrap my head around this thing, and
yes.
And I have to put myself out there. So there's almost kind of like this catch-22, like especially if you're in
yep.
the beginning. It's like your business isn't fully baked, and yet you
right.
have to be out there being your business because that's how it bakes.
Exactly. Well, you know, and so often I think, I was just coaching a guy yesterday about this, and, you know, he's in a similar business that I am, speaking and writing, and, you know, so there's different aspects of his business, and actually very, very successful in terms of his work, but there's certain elements of his work he's wanting to expand into. And so in the conversation we were talking, and I could feel it, because again, takes one to know one, he was afraid to get on the phone to call certain people. Well, I want to have this established first and this ready, and I want, you know, this part of the website, and I want this, you know, as we all can relate to. And it's not that we don't want to be prepared, but my coaching was, get on the phone anyway. You'll probably screw up the first 10, 15 calls, and you'll say dumb things, and you'll fumble all over yourself. And, you know, but here's what will happen. You'll figure it out. You know, and that's the thing. I remember years ago, Adela, when I was actually in sales, advertising sales, and that was one of the best pieces of coaching that I got from my very first sales manager. He said, just get on the phone. You're not going to be very good initially, but just start doing it, because eventually you'll get better, but you can't get any better practicing and waiting and preparing. The only way really to get better is to jump in and do it. And I think that that's so simple on the one hand, but scary for a lot of us, particularly in our businesses. Look, and a lot of people I know listening to this, you know, their businesses are more established. It's not that they just started, but as we grow and expand in our business, and oh, by the way, with something like what we've all been dealing with to whatever degree we've been engaged in it or it's impacted our business, like the economy doing what it's been doing for the last year and a half, it's forcing us to change, it's forcing us to expand, and the way technology changes, I mean, you know this, Adela, given the business that you're in and what you do, it's changing all the time, and we got to keep up, and we got to keep trying new things, and inevitably we step out of our comfort zone, and it's going to be scary. So if we keep waiting until we figure it all out and have it all handled and together, like, we'll never take any action, we'll never get out there. And so being able to deal with our fear and being able to deal with this whole notion of what we're calling authenticity here, being real, being genuine, it's so important on a personal level, but also it's what draws people to us. It's what has people trust us and want to do business with us. I mean, our product or service that we're offering has to be good enough and valuable enough that they want it and that it brings some value to them. But at the end of the day, it's really going to be about how do they feel about us and what it is we have to offer. And with so much stuff being offered to us 24/7, especially electronically, what's going to differentiate us between the next person is really going to be about who we are and how we show up.
Well, you know, I think that this whole internet explosion and information explosion has actually created a craving for this authentic connection.
Yes.
Because we've got all this information, and I don't know anybody who isn't experiencing this. It's like, oh my gosh, there's all this information. Like,
yeah.
What do I do with all this stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So it's interesting. I think, you know, it's like this spiral of development where, you know, where information used to be very limited in the hands of a few, and so you look for the
right.
expert, and now the information's everywhere, you know, and you have access to it, but now it's too much information, and you actually need to have someone's help to specifically guide you through processing that information in a way that's relevant and specific to you.
Absolutely.
And so I'd love for you to speak to how we can actually use this big trend that I'm seeing and that I'm also mm-hmm. hearing other people noticing too. Even you were just mentioning it. Yeah. How we can use our own authenticity to meet these needs.
Well, I think it's a great point. I mean, there's so much. So it's not about our information as much as it's about, again, who we are and how we not only deliver it, but how we can connect with people in a personal way. I mean, let's just take an example that most of us can relate to these days, however much we're engaging in social media or not. Here's a question, Adele, I often get when I'm interviewed in the media and, you know, radio, television. They'll ask me, do I think social media is good for authenticity or bad? And I say, well, both. Because here's the sense, and this relates to our business. How do we market and promote our business, so to speak? How do we filter the information through and serve people and support people, if you will, through how we just engage with something like social media? Well, I think the question we have to ask ourselves as we look at our tweets or we look at our posts on Facebook or we look at whatever it is we're putting out there is, how genuine are they? How real are they? How much of it is simply coming from a perspective of what can I say that sounds cute and is going to get people to click and is going to have people want this versus what's real and true for me? You know, and I think, again, whatever our business may be, this whole notion of information overload that you're talking about, here's where it can have a negative impact on two fronts. One, on a personal level, we start to think who we are and what we have to offer is irrelevant because there's so much other stuff out there, right?
Yeah.
And the other part of it is that it is so overwhelming for the people we're looking to reach, connect with, and serve. We do have to figure out strategically how to address that. So I think on the personal side of it, I just remember a meeting that I had 10 and a half years ago before I started my business when I was just in the thinking about it stage, and I was so nervous and I was so overwhelmed and I was so insecure and, oh my goodness, I'm too young and I don't know anything and who's going to listen to me? I had a meeting with a wonderful man named Dan Millman, who many people may have heard of. Dan's written a bunch of great books. His best-selling book is called Way of the Peaceful Warrior. It came out about 25 years ago. It's like a, you know, classic in the sort of new age self-help genre, if you will. And Dan lives out here in the San Francisco Bay Area where I live, and we met through some mutual people, and I had the opportunity to sit down and talk to him, which was such an honor for me. And one of the things I said to Dan, I said, Dan, listen, there's no new ideas under the sun. Like, everything I think about wanting to write and speak about and teach people, someone's already said, like, who the hell am I to do that? You know, it was kind of that, right? And he says to me, Mike, listen, there's one light. There's many lamps. So he said, no matter what, if you choose to put yourself out in the world wanting to teach, wanting to inspire, wanting to educate, wanting to empower people, and you do that, there will be people that will resonate with you that won't resonate with me. And it doesn't matter, you know, how many books I've written or not or what. It's just it's just the way it works. So don't let that limit you. He also said to me in that same conversation, Adela, a very basic sort of marketing 101 thing that has stuck with me ever since. He said, look, if you're going to do this or any business, what you do has to be good. Like, there has to be value to it if you want people to engage in it. And you also have to be equally as good at letting people know about it. He said, in most cases, if people have a really good product or service to offer and then they don't let people know about it or they're not good at that, then no one knows. But on the flip side, if somebody's really good at marketing and promoting and they get lots of people interested in what they have, but what they have isn't all that valuable, it's not that genuine, it's like there's something phony about it, it won't last, and you'll get a bad reputation. So you want to work on both. And so those two things that he said to me in that conversation on a personal level and with my business, among a lot of other advice and wisdom I've received over the years from mentors and wonderful people, has really guided me. And in terms of this whole thing about how we facilitate the information, you know, that's a great question. And I'm still constantly struggling with that and challenged by that in a good way and looking at, I think we all have to keep reinventing the wheel, so to speak, and also asking our audience, who's our audience? What is it that they want from us, and how is it that they want the information? I mean, this is an area where we can, without copying someone else in an inauthentic way, we can look at people and emulate the way that people help and sort of strategically manage information. But I think that's one of the things we got to keep learning and adjusting. And you know what? Whatever idea you and I would come up with right now, I'm sure in a year or 2 years or even a few months, it may change because the nature of this crazy world of the Internet and all this information is changing all the time.
Yeah, and I think that that is part of one of the aspects of these kinds of businesses, these service businesses, these information businesses, is that they're always evolving. It's a living
yep.
It's a living organism, your business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, anybody who's, you know this, Adela, anybody who's been in this business of information, of, you know, inspiration, of wanting to really empower people in their lives and their businesses, if you've been doing this for any longer than a couple years, you've seen it dramatically change.
Yeah.
You know, any of us who've been doing it, like, you know, it's been 10 years for me, it's like not even the same business as it was 10 years ago when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it's not something that's comfortable for us to be constantly changing, constantly reinventing, constantly, you know, we may want to think about playing another game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know this about me, and anyone who's heard me talk before or read my books know, you know, I used to play baseball. I was a professional baseball player. I got drafted by the Yankees out of high school. Didn't sign with the Yankees because I got a scholarship to play baseball at Stanford. Then I got drafted by the Kansas City Royals, signed a pro contract when I was 21. Unfortunately, my third season in the minors with Kansas City, I injured my pitching arm. My career ended when I was still pretty young. But that whole experience of playing baseball, organized baseball from the age of 7 to the age of 23, taught me so many different lessons about life, Adela.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lessons I remember learning, and one of my coaches said to me, hey, Mike, if you don't like to fail, you shouldn't play baseball. You should go play softball, because in softball, if you're really good, you can hit like 800 and be great and hardly ever fail. But in baseball, you're going to fail all the time. And I was a pitcher. He's like, whether you're a pitcher or you're a hitter, you're just going to fail a lot. And if you're not good at that and you're not comfortable with that, play another game. This isn't the right game for you. And I always think about that now in my life, in my own business, when I find myself challenged or struggling or hit a disappointment or a frustration is, wow, you know, there are other things that I could do that may not be as challenging, but that's part of why I love doing this. And I think everyone listening can relate to that. You know, and all the people in your life who both think you're crazy but also think, you know, have a sense of envy and, wow, you work for yourself. Wow, you have your own business. That's so cool. You have all this flexibility. You have all this free time. And then we all laugh at them and go, you have no idea what you're talking about, right? So, you know, but I mean, it's that sense of we really have to create a relationship with our business in the sense that we're committed to it and really tell the truth about it and be authentic about it. Am I committed to this business, or am I simply committed to being in business for myself and making money this way? And that's an important distinction, because some of us are really committed to being in business for ourselves and being creative, and we know it's going to change all the time. Not only is the business going to evolve, Adela, but we're going to jump from business to business to business because that's part of our personality, and we get bored after a while. And then others of us know, like, you know what? I found the game of my life. It may evolve and change and deepen and grow and expand and go left and right, but I'm in the ballpark of exactly what I want to do. I'm not going anywhere else. And that's another sort of internal question for us to ask ourselves and be authentic about in our business. And one of the times we get to really challenge that and really check in with ourselves and have kind of a gut check moment is when it's not going the way we want it to go.
Yeah.
Because then we have to decide, is it really about this business, or is it about, you know, being successful? And all of this relates back to how we market and promote ourselves, because you know the saying, and it's overused, but I love it, nothing succeeds like success.
Mm-hmm.
People can feel your passion. They can feel your enthusiasm. They can feel how you feel about your business when you're out, even in the emails that you write, even in the tweets that you post, even in the marketing materials you put out, either hard copy materials, which we almost never do these days, or electronic stuff. They go to your website, they listen to your audio, they see the information that you have, they sign up for your newsletter, whatever. There's an energy, if you will, that exists in all of that stuff. You know, and again, it doesn't mean we have to be perfect and we can never have a bad day and we can't get frustrated. Of course, we all do that, but we want to focus as much we can in an authentic way, in a real way, on the passion that we have for what we do, because that will come across in everything that we do, directly and indirectly.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think what I'm hearing, too, in this vein of being authentic, is you have to commit to your business.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely,
right?
And like you do in a relationship,
exactly.
Right? For better or worse, it doesn't mean it's always going to be great. It doesn't mean it's always going to be fun. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. In fact, as we all know, there are times it's really tough, and those are those really important moments. You know, and the thing about this, I was doing a workshop on this with a group of folks and, you know, entrepreneurs, a lot of small business people, and a guy stood up in the middle of the workshop. Adele, and he says to me as I'm talking about authenticity, he says, Mike, you can't just go around being authentic all the time, especially in your business. And I said, well, why not? He said, well, because, you know, there's consequences to that. And I said, you're right. There are consequences. Look, there's consequences to everything. There are moments and times in life, and particularly in your business, that if you're fully authentic, if you tell someone, you know what, I don't have the answer to that, or I've never done that before, or this is a little scary for me, or whatever, they might not want to do business with you. It's possible. They might not like you. They might not respect you. But what I said to him is, look, I don't think most of us in our lives and in our businesses are struggling from a issue called I'm just too authentic. If anything, where we struggle or where there's issue, where there's challenge in our lives, in our businesses, in our relationships, is where we're not fully being authentic because we feel stuck. You know, and again, it's got to fit with our personality, and you can't just do it like a shtick, but if you embody a sense of that, again, people will be drawn to you and will trust you. I'll give you a very specific example, and I may have shared this, Adela, when we talked the last time, because this story is so poignant and so ironic, but really powerful. It relates to my book, right? Be Yourself, Everyone Else is Already Taken. So I was in the meeting with my publisher, Josie Bass, and they published my first book, Focus on the Good Stuff. And I had pitched them the idea on the second book and the authenticity, and they were interested enough that they had, you know, called me in to the office in San Francisco where the, you know, where they are headquartered to have a meeting to talk to my editor about it and some of the other folks. And as I went to the meeting, I had prepared, and it was kind of a big deal, and I, you know, had everything I wanted to say as well as had done my sort of internal clearing process, one of the techniques I talk about and Focus on the Good Stuff, to really get myself focused and centered and I'm going to be present and authentic. And right as we walk into the meeting, I was told by my editor that the president of Josie Bass, who I'd never met before, was going to come to the meeting. She had cleared her schedule. She wanted to meet me. She wanted to hear about the new book. Well, I got kind of nervous when I heard that. Then I heard that her boss from Wiley in New York, from Hoboken specifically, had flown out to also sit in on the meeting because Josie Bass is an imprint of Wiley. So now all of a sudden the president of Josie Bass, boss from Wiley, are going to be at the meeting, and no one had told me. And then I'm like mad, like, why didn't you guys tell me? And the little voice in my head is screaming at me like, you should have prepared more, you should be, you know, oh no, you know, all this stuff. And literally I have about 3 minutes to integrate this information before they walk into the room and I meet them and, hey, how's it going? And we all sit down, and there's just like five of us sitting around the conference room table. And Deborah, the president, not an intimidating woman at all, but as you can imagine, I was, you know, pretty nervous. So I go in, so they say, Mike, tell us about the book. I kind of go into my pitch and the things that I wanted to say, and you know, it was going fine. Like, they were interested in it. You know, I'm a pretty funny guy. I speak for a living, so it wasn't like I was fumbling all over myself, but I could feel inside, Adela, that I didn't feel right. I felt like, I don't know, I just felt like I was trying hard, and my anxiety level was increasing instead of decreasing, and I was sort of just like, I was having this internal battle with myself. And about 3 minutes into it, again, I'm sure they didn't think anything was wrong, but I could feel it. I just looked at Deborah and I said, hey, Deborah, listen, I'm really glad you came. It's an honor to meet you. I'm grateful. I'm sure you're really busy. And I, you know, said to her boss, and you flew from, you know, the East Coast, and wow. But I got to tell you guys, I notice I'm feeling pretty nervous, and I'm trying really hard to impress you. Can I just stop doing that and be myself? And even as I was saying it, the voice in my head, Adela, was screaming at me, don't say that. And, you know, and it was like, and then there was this pregnant pause after I said it. I could see everyone's face. They were thinking, like, did he really just say that out loud, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Deborah laughed out loud and said, "Ah, of course." And then everybody else laughed, and I took a breath. And then we just had a conversation about authenticity, ironically. It wasn't my pitch. It wasn't my talking points. It wasn't all the selling points on why the book was going to, you know, I mean, all the stuff. It was a conversation. You know, and it went really well. The conversation where we were is engaging, and I said, "Listen, you know, I find authenticity so important, so compelling, so necessary in my own life. It's what I want. But you know what? It can be hard sometimes, and I think it's hard for a lot of people. And I want to explore that more deeply. I want to write about that." And we all started talking about why it's difficult and why it's important, and people were sharing, and we just had this conversation. And at the end of it, you know, I left the meeting feeling good that we'd connected. You know, we didn't end up even talking all that much about the book and the marketing plan and, you know, all this stuff. And then I was starting to worry in my head, like, man, was that the right thing to do? Was that the most professional thing? I don't know. And, you know, the guy from, the, you know, from Wiley didn't talk that much. You know, so I was like doubt as I went back to my office and I waited to hopefully get a phone call, which I finally did at the end of the day from my editor. And he said, "Hey, listen, Mike, first of all, we want to publish your book," which I was ecstatic about. And then he said, "You know, I got to tell you, everyone was so impressed with the meeting." And I said, "Really? What about?" He said, "Listen, we meet with agents and authors and people all the time. Really impressive, smart people, interesting people." So he said, "But you know, we've never really had a conversation like that, Mike." And I share that as an example. It's, of course, ironic. I was in there pitching a book called Be Yourself, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is that even in the situations where we really need to be on and impress people and all of that, I mean, that was a really important, big, sort of high-stake meeting for me in my business. And being myself and being honest and being transparent, even though I wasn't 100% sure, and I didn't walk in there planning to do a little authentic shtick to prove, no, it was just what happened in the moment. Like, you can't fake that. And, you know, people are going to resonate with that. Now, is every single person going to respond positively to that? Not necessarily. Is it possible I could have said that in a different meeting and it could have blown up in my face? Sure. But at some level, we got to be able to live with ourselves. And, you know, years ago, I remember one of my mentors saying to me that he always told the truth, not because he was some highly moral person. He said because he just really got clear in his life that telling the truth was easier. And I said, "Why do you say that?" He said, "Well, you know, now I'm at a point of integrity in my life where if I lie or I'm not totally straightforward, I end up cleaning it up. I end up going back and apologizing for it. That's just what I do." And he said, "It takes a lot of time and energy to have to do that. So I just cut to the chase and tell the truth now, and it's always easier." And, you know, it takes courage to do that. And our culture doesn't actually really encourage it in a deep way. We encourage it in a superficial way. But if we can start living our lives and running our businesses that way, that will differentiate us. Because we won't just be there trying to sell something, trying to push something, trying to promote something. We'll be there showing up authentically as who we are. And if we're passionate about what it is we're offering, that's going to come through. And people are going to hear it and sense it and receive it like an offer, like an opportunity, not like a pitch, not like a thing to buy.
Yeah, it's almost like in really unveiling the layers that cover your authentic self.
Yeah.
That's the juiciest aspect of you to relate to. And so when
people
get that, like they did in that meeting with you, they're changed by it.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know what, I also absolutely know, and I think these days, one of the things I think with, you know, you were talking earlier about all the information overload and all the everything we're getting, I also think, and this has been something that I think has evolved and continues to evolve in this whole, you know, information, you know, empower people with information world that we're in now more than ever, is do we want to learn from people who have a certain expertise in something? Of course we do. We want to know they know what they're talking about, they can teach us something or share something. You know, and again, not every single person listening to this is in that business, but I know a lot of people probably are, and whatever the business is, of information, or even if it's a very specific product or service business. But at the same time, if we're in the business of informing, inspiring, empowering people. One of the things that people are really jaded by these days is the sense of, I'm perfect and have it all handled, and let me tell you how you can be like me. Some version of that. Do you know what I mean? Because any of us who've lived life for long enough just know that's not true. And any of us who do this for a living in any capacity know it's not true for us, because if we had to be masters and experts at every single thing we taught anyone else, none of us would be qualified to teach hardly anything. So I think it's important that we can embody that and also have that come through in what it is we're offering. That's my take on it. Like, it's if I go to a workshop or a seminar or get an email or go to a website or listen to someone on a telecall or do anything, what am I most engaged by is their level of authenticity and humanity and really being able to share in a genuine way where they're at, what they're up to, and what they're offering. Not so much that, you know, they've made $9 gazillion and they've done this thing for 40 years and they know everything about this and they, you know what I mean? Again, experience and success and all that, it speaks for itself to some degree. It's not that credibility is not important, but I think what happens for a lot of us in our businesses is we think, again, we have to come up with some long list, long resume, credibility to prove why we're there to do what we're doing or offer what we're offering. And that's relevant, but I think what's more important, again, is who we are and how we are, and people will pick up on that.
Yeah. Yeah. This hunger, this compelling nature of authenticity, I think is also a response to just to this sense of isolation from one's true self.
Yes.
And so as we see other people, like when I came across your work, Mike, I was like, oh my gosh, I love this guy. Because you were speaking things that I felt in my heart, that I inside, you know, I felt the same way. And here you were embodying this message.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a lot of what we're looking for in business also.
Yes.
Right?
Well, absolutely. And I think you're right. I mean, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate that, because one of my missions in my work, Adela, and it's continued to evolve and deepen, particularly in the last couple years as I've really more overtly focused my work on authenticity. You know, my first book, Focus on the Good Stuff, is about gratitude and appreciation. And that's still a big key component of what I teach and speak about. But what started to come through me was a deeper desire for not only being authentic myself, but wanting that. And again, a challenge with it. And what I've seen, especially in the last year or two, as I've shared more and more of my own journey, my own process, and some of my own struggle at times. Now, this is not about me and what I do, getting up and sort of dumping all my issues and psychosis, if you will, or worries and fears and doubts on other people. But a lot of times, and I see this happen day in and day out in my work and with so many people that I interact with, that when we get real, when I get real, when I share what's really going on inside of me, it opens up a space and it liberates the people around me, whoever I'm interacting with, whether it's friends or family or people I'm coaching or I'm leading a workshop or I'm speaking to a large group of people or we're talking on a, you know, teleconference call like this. It just gives people the permission to open up and tap into some of that stuff themselves. And it doesn't mean that we dwell in whatever that is, but a lot of times, again, so much of what we do, and this so relates to our businesses and how we market and promote our businesses, it's on top of fear and doubt and insecurity. And again, we think those things are bad. Well, they're just part of being human. They're just as natural as any other human emotion. And if we could actually have a greater relationship with our own fear and doubt and worry and not hide it, not run away from it, not try to force it out, which actually, by the way, is what emboldens it and gives it more juice and more power and keeps it sort of controlling our life, it's amazing what can happen. Now, in the case of some people's businesses and what they do and what product or service or information they're offering, it may not be relevant to bring that forward specifically in the way that you're marketing and promoting your business, if you will. I mean, look, I'm out speaking about authenticity. I'm speaking about and coaching people about life and how to be more real and more genuine and more appreciative, whether it's in their businesses or in their relationships or whatever. So much of what I talk about is just wrapped up in how I run my life and my business and everything. So, but in the case of, let's just say that's not true for someone who's listening, their business is a little different than that. It's important on the personal level to be able to embody some of these principles of being authentic and get yourself clear, if you will, on a personal level before you walk into the meeting, before you get on the phone, before you send out, you know, a promotional email, before you do whatever you do that's going to be with the intention of promoting your business. I'll give you an example, and this is a specific technique that people can use. And this is what I call the clearing technique. And it's pretty simple. I originally learned it from a sports psychologist when I was at Stanford, and then over the years have kind of learned it in different ways and evolved it a bit for myself personally. I've used it with my coaching clients for many years. But before you're about to do anything important, I mean, it could be go on a first date, it could be go into a meeting, it could be, you know, anything, get on a call like this, whatever it may be. Maybe you get up and give presentations. Again, maybe you send out, you know, emails, as many of us do, or post things that are sort of marketing related. But anything that matters to you, specifically related to your business, promoting your business, marketing yourself. You know, there's a concept that I like to talk about in terms of above the line, below the line. The stuff that's above the line is the mechanics. The stuff that's below the line that we can't see is psychology, for lack of a better term, right? So there's mechanics of marketing. In this case, let's just take an example of sending out an email to our list or to promote something. You know, what are we going to say and how are we going to write it and what have we learned most recently about the best techniques for how to write copy and how to space it and where to put the links and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, there's different philosophies on that, Adela, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Probably even better than I do about how all that stuff's supposed to work. But that's all mechanical, right? And as much as that's important, at some level, it's what's below the line, the energy of it, the psychology of it, how you're feeling about it, you know, what's infused, as Eckhart Tolle talks about, the level of consciousness we're at when we create something is infused in that which we create. So as you're sitting there, before you go to write the email and try to think of all the right words and how to format it and what to do, whatever, you want to kind of clear yourself out emotionally, energetically, personally, so that what's infused in that message isn't, please buy my thing, please don't think I'm an idiot, please, oh my goodness, I really need some money, or whatever negative energy that might get into that that's going to end up having it not be as effective, successful, or ultimately real. So how the clearing technique works, again, whether we're talking about writing an email or marketing piece, going to a meeting, going to a family gathering, anything, is take a little bit of time and put a little attention on anything you may be nervous about, worried about, or feeling negative or constricted about. Now, this is not to dwell in the negative. What it is to actually consciously bring it out into the light. Okay, I'm worried that, you know, it's going to be too long. I'm worried that no one's going to click on. I'm worried that, you know, it's not going to work. I'm worried that I'm going to check the results of it and it's not going to be what I want. I'm worried that people on my list are going to email me back and go, why are you being so pushy? Or they're going to get off my list or whatever. You know, I mean, just, but it's got to be real. What are you genuinely concerned about? I'm not really as good a copywriter as my friend, or, you know, anything. But get it out. Ideally, speak it out loud to another person that you trust. But if you can't do that or don't feel comfortable, you can write it down. Either way, you want to get it out of your head. That's the first part of the clearing technique. I do this before I get up to speak. I mean, sometimes I get up on stage to speak in front of like 500 people, 1,000 people. I love it, but I get nervous. So I'll sit and, you know, clear. I'll get on the phone with my wife if I'm on the road and say, okay, I'm worried that, you know, it's not going to go well. They're not going to laugh at my jokes. It's not going to, you know, I'm going to forget what I want to say, whatever. So that's the first part, right? You clear it out, the negativity, the fear, the worry, the doubt. Then the second part, if you're talking to another person, which is the ideal way to do it, their job is not to talk you out of it and say, no, you'll be fine, or you're great, or remember how powerful you are. No, their job is just to get it. They're like holding a mental garbage can for you to dump all your mental garbage, if you will, into the can. And then the second part of the process is, you say to the person, or if you're writing it down, if you don't have it, you take out another piece of paper and write, here's how I want it to go. Here's how I want to feel. Here's what the energy I want to be infused in this. And then you start thinking and speak it all in the affirmative. I want it to be relaxed. I want people to be engaged. I want people to feel my love and passion for this. I want people to respond positively. I want them to click on my links. I want them to buy my product or service or sign up for my workshop or whatever it is. But do it from a place of, you know, what do you genuinely want? And as we start to do that, again, when I do this with my wife, I'll tell her all the, here's how I want it to go. Here's who the people are to me. I don't know them personally, but I'm going to create that they're open and loving and excited and, you know, whatever, because it's all made up at some level. But our minds, as we know, are so powerful. So if we do this clearing technique, it doesn't take our fear and doubt and worry and negativity away completely, but what it does is it takes the edge off and it has that stuff not run the show as much, and then we can show up, Adela, whether we're writing an email, getting on a call, going to a meeting, just preparing something, putting together a piece of marketing material we're going to send out later. It comes from a more authentic place. It comes from a deeper place. It's not from that place that's trying to cover up any fear or lack or insecurity that we have. And all of that, you may still show up in the meeting or at the event or with people or on the phone call or whatever and say, again, above the line, mechanically, the exact same stuff. But what's going on below the line, how you feel and where it's coming from and your energy about it will be completely different. And that is what's going to shift it. Because we've all had experiences, I know I have, where what happened on the surface, above the line, I did all the right things, I said all the right things, I wrote all the right copy, I whatever, fill in the blank, I did it the way I was supposed to do it, and it didn't produce the result that I wanted.
Yeah, and other people, they may not be able to put their finger on it, but they can feel the difference.
They can.
Yeah, because one energy moves you, and the other one doesn't engage you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, look, I mean, I know that my own journey in this process for myself is, it's ongoing, and I think it is for all of us. And it's okay. We want to have compassion for ourselves. Like, I find, personally, that when I'm talking about ideas and I'm sharing stories and engaging with you and whether I'm doing it on the phone or in a meeting with someone or a coaching session or on stage or in a workshop, like, I am completely, where I want to be. It's what I love. There are times in those same conversations or those same workshops or those same situations or phone calls or whatever when then I start to sell something, you know, and then all of a sudden I can sometimes feel my energy change and it's like, wow, that's interesting. I went from totally passionate, excited, engaged to like, now let me try to sell this effectively. You know what I mean? And I think, and that's true for so many of us, and one of the journeys, and I know this is what your whole Telesummit is about, is continuing to deepen that consciousness, that awareness, that effectiveness in being someone who markets and promotes in not only a successful way, but in a way that's integrated with who we are, in a way that's true to who we are. And, you know, I think, again, just like we were talking about earlier, that we have to keep adjusting to keep up with the change in technology and how information is, you know, shared and communicated, I think we also have to do the same thing for ourselves as it relates to marketing and promoting our businesses. And it's so easy to fall into the trap, Adela, and I'm sure almost everyone listening can relate to this, of comparing ourselves to someone else who we think is better at it than we are. You know, I see
yeah.
someone get up on stage and do their thing and like, wow, and like everybody's running to have them to buy their books or sign up for their whatever, and I think, how the heck did he just do that? Like, it just was really natural and easy, and it happened, and I'm up there, and I'm all in my head, and I'm trying to do it right, and I sound like an idiot, and, you know, I'm judging myself. And, you know, the thing about it is, and some people are naturally better at this, or they've done the work, or whatever. It's like a lot of things. And some of us, there's more struggle. But what we want to try to do as best we can is have compassion for ourselves and not waste a lot of time and energy comparing ourselves to people in a negative way, but just learning from people. So everybody who's been listening to this whole Telesummit and will continue to listen to these calls is to take bits and pieces, little things. Some of you may really be resonating with what I'm saying. Some of you may think I'm an idiot. It's okay. Take what works, right, from every little person and integrate that into you and how do you do it. Because if you get up in front of people or get on a phone call or send out an email or whatever and try to do it like you do it, Adela, or like I do it, or like, you know, Jennifer McLean did it, you talked to her yesterday, or whoever you're going to talk to later today or tomorrow or anyone, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to feel genuine. There's going to be something off about it. And the balance point we all have to remember in life is we want to learn and be inspired and be mentored and coached and sort of informed by other people. But at the end of the day, we got to take whatever that information or inspiration is from other people, and it's got to run through the filter called, who am I? How does this work for me? And I think we also waste a lot of time and energy in this whole world of marketing and promoting our businesses being very self-righteous about the right and the wrong way to do it. You know? And are we entitled to our opinion? Of course we are. But just do what resonates and what seems to work for you, and don't do what doesn't. Instead of wasting all this time like, I can't believe that person sent me another email. What's wrong with them? Or whatever we think. It's like, that doesn't help us. Maybe it's feedback like, I don't want to do it that way. Cool. But there's always something for us to learn. And I know this to be true for myself, Adela. Whenever I get really triggered by how someone markets and promotes their business, mm-hmm. it's almost always some shadow aspect of myself. It's not really about them. It's about me going, oh, I would never have the courage to do that. And it's much nicer, if you will, quote unquote, in my mind to go, oh, my God, and they're so pushy. I would never be like that, or whatever it is. But it's all just a smokescreen for this opportunity for us. I think having our own businesses and marketing and promoting our own businesses is one of the greatest personal and spiritual development journeys in life, that we can learn so much about ourselves if we have it not solely be just about the numbers and the bottom line. Not that there's anything wrong with being successful and making money in our businesses, but if that's all we focus on, I think we miss out on so many other aspects of this whole process. And that's part of how we continue to deepen not only ourselves, but that's how people will resonate with us in a more genuine way. That thing you were saying earlier, they don't know exactly what it is, but there's something. They go, I don't know what it is about Adela, but there's something that just compels me.
Yeah. And the other thing that's tied into this that I'm hearing you say is that the more authentic that we are, the more that we can authentically connect to other people.
Yes.
And that
absolutely
that grows our business naturally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the mistakes sometimes in the beginning. You think of your business and your clients as like this amorphous blob.
Right.
The clients, you know.
Right.
The prospects.
Yep.
You know, and the more that you do this process that you're talking about, that I'm hearing you, the more that you make it real, you know, just like you did
yep.
in that meeting there with those folks.
Yep.
Those were real people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you connected to them on a real level.
Yep.
And the other thing that I heard happening here is that you actually get to develop your message on authenticity every time you engage an opportunity like that.
Every time. And you know, Adela, I mean, one of my favorite sayings and mantras, and it's so true, is, you know, we teach best what we most need to learn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I've been saying this for the last year, especially since my book on authenticity came out. You know, you ever want to get in touch with how full of it you are in your life, just write a book on authenticity. It'll be right in your face. And that's been so true for me, but I embrace that you're right, every interaction, this conversation I'm having with you right now, we're talking about authenticity and how it relates to us marketing and promoting our business, but I'm engaged in this personally, like, wow, where are the places in my own life right now in this conversation where I can even go deeper or where I'm withholding? And again, it's not a judgmental thing. It's just an awareness thing. Oh, cool. And if we look at that, and look, every opportunity that we have out in the world, not that we have to be super driven and goal-oriented and like shove our business card in every person's face and everyone's a prospect, but everyone is an opportunity for us to share what it is we offer and the service that we have and get even more and more comfortable and more authentic with how we share it. And the thing about relationships ultimately, I mean, you know, it's a cliche, but it's so true. Every business that any of us are in, it's a relationship business. It's a people business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an information business. It's not a widget business. It's not a book business. It's not a teleseminar business. It's not a whatever, you know, it's not that. It's people. And if we're really out to serve people, you know, it's not about having an email list that has, you know, 300,000 people on it necessarily, as great as that would be. It's about how am I serving those people, whether even if I only have 300 people on my email list, and is there a way for me to personally and genuinely engage with those people so that there's a relationship happening. You know, I was at an event last week where I spoke. It was a youth event, and it was really great. Some high school students, and I love talking to young people, but one of the speakers got up after me, and he was talking to the young people about the importance of treating people with respect. And, you know, it was kind of a standard message you tell the young people, but he said, listen, and this is a guy who's been in the music industry for like 30 years and has written songs for some huge artists, even though he himself isn't a big well-known person, but he said one of the things that he learned in the course of 30 years in the music industry is it's amazing what happens when you treat people with kindness and respect. He said, over 30 years, I can't tell you how many times those people that I just genuinely treated with kindness and respect, not because I wanted anything from them, they ended up in positions of incredible power and influence and then ultimately made huge impacts in my career because they wanted to work with me. And, you know, it was just something so simple, and I was so glad he was saying it. I was hoping the teenagers were really taking it in because I really got it. Like, wow, what if we weren't always with our agenda of who's this person and how important are they, but we treated people with a genuine sense of kindness, respect, and authenticity. And you know what, the way the universe works? Those people, not every single one of them and not always directly, but they'll come back around and amazing opportunities will open up in an incredibly, quote, indirect way. But that's how things work. We just got to remember that and trust that in our business, even if it's not going how we want it to go right now, because there's very few people, Adela, I talk to, even people who have wildly successful businesses, who when I ask them how it's going, they say it's perfect. Nothing could be better. Right? Because most of us, I mean, this is what all my work on gratitude and appreciation is about. Most of us are obsessed with what's wrong and how it could be, should be better. And yeah, that was good, but it could have been better. And yeah, I did a good thing there, but it could have been more. And, you know, but what if we could let go of that? I mean, talk about a breakthrough in being authentic and really being appreciative for what we have. You know, and everybody listening right now, if you're in a place and you feel like your business is struggling and it's not where you want it to be, I have so much compassion and empathy for you. And my challenge to you is to put a little more attention on what's actually going well. What are you proud of? It doesn't mean to sugarcoat some of the issues or some of the places where maybe growth is necessary, but I think that's true for all of us, wherever we are in our business, brand new, been doing it a long time, feel like we're really kicking butt and it's going great, or feel like we're really struggling and we're scared it may not last. If we could genuinely, authentically put more attention on what we appreciate about our business and about ourselves and what's going well, in a real way, not in a elevator pitch kind of way, not in a look how successful I am phony kind of way, in a real way, not for anyone else, not for marketing purposes, you know, not to put up on your website, but to embody, because if you start to embody that, that will come out in your conversations with people, that will come through your emails, that will, they'll hear it in your voice on the phone, they'll just sense it about you. But it's got to be authentic, it can't be made up.
Awesome. Oh, Mike, time flies. And I know that you've got a wonderful offer for us. This always happens with us. And I did have a great question here from Miguel that I know that a lot of people have this question. So I wondered if you could answer this question before we talk about your
absolutely
your special teleclass. So Miguel from Toronto, how do you make your own message unique when it feels like everyone else is saying the same thing?
Oh, wow. I love that question. Thank you. I think there's a couple thoughts on that I have. Number one, I think it's important for us to own, with love and respect for ourselves, that we are often saying the exact same thing that other people are saying, and that's okay. Like, I think we have this idea that we can't. Oh, I'm saying what everyone else is saying. Yeah, but no one is saying it exactly like you, and it's not coming from you when it's coming from someone else. So I think it's important to have a sense of it. Look, Adela, I'm really clear, as proud of my books as I am, as proud of my work as I am, there's not a whole lot of, like, revolutionary, brand-new ideas. You know, look, the ideas are recycled ideas. All of us are recycling ideas. But we have a unique take. We have a unique perspective. And like Dan Millman said to me, you know, one light, many lamps. So I think we can both hold simultaneously, yeah, you know what? A lot of people are saying this. And at the same time, there's only one me. And I think, though, what you want to be careful, the more we try to be unique, I think sometimes it actually forces us to be more phony, if you will. Like, I'm going to have a cool hook. I'm going to have a cool angle. I'm going to be the person that always walks around with a feather in my hair. No one else has that. You know what I mean? Like, don't try too hard to be unique. Just be you. You being you is actually as unique as you need to be. And I think if we can just give ourselves some permission, and especially when we're first starting, but even along the way, a lot of times we're going to be similar to other people, and that's okay. And as we get more in touch with who we really are, our natural uniqueness will come out, and we don't have to try so hard.
Yeah, that's a great approach. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's more relaxing, just letting go into who we already are. That's already like awesome.
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Miguel, for that question, because that's one that comes up a lot for everyone, and it's an important one. And thank you, Mike. Tell us a little bit about this Be Yourself teleclass that's coming up.
Well, I'm very excited. It's actually a telecourse that we just offered recently. It's called Be Yourself. Everyone else is already taken. So it's about transforming your life and your work with the power of authenticity, like you and I were just talking about. And the course was done with a live group in March, and it went incredibly well, and we now have the audio course available, which is all the course sessions and all the coursework that anyone can participate in. And it's a four-part course, so, you know, you can listen to it at any rate. The recommended way to do it is one session, which the sessions are about an hour and a half. One session a week, and then do the homework and the work in between. But we focus on some key areas, Adele, as you know from reading my book, Be Yourself, Everyone Else Is Already Taken. There's some different principles within the book. And the way the four sessions break down, the very first one we talk about getting real. So it's really about telling the truth about why authenticity can be difficult, challenging, some of what you and I were just talking about here. The second session we really get into some specific techniques to transforming your fear. So how we can use our fear in a positive way. The third session is about expressing yourself fully in your business, in your life. And the fourth session, I think, is ultimately the most important one. That's really about loving and appreciating yourself. And as I've been saying, as we've been talking, you know, all that below-the-line stuff is really what comes out above the line. So the course is really designed for people, you know, who want to express themselves even more fully with even more confidence, transform that fear, you know, take risks, even if you're scared, and really just have more freedom and more power. So if people go to, where do they go to on your
They're
going
to go to consciousbusinesstribe.com/be-yourself.
Right.
consciousbusinesstribe.com/be-yourself.
Yeah, and the course originally was priced at $97, but the special discount offer that we're making is for $74. So, and people will have access to the recordings and the handouts and all the information for as long as they want, and can interact and engage with me by email as they go through it as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Is there a time limit on that price, Mike? Do you know?
The price is good through the end of the month, so through the end of May.
Okay. All right, awesome. I'll make sure and update your speaker page and put that information on there.
Yep.
That it goes through the end of the month. Oh, I always feel so much more after we have these conversations. It just, it's such a reconnection to what's true, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's always awesome to have you here, and I hope you'll come back.
I would love to. Anytime. Just let me know. I really appreciate what you're doing and how you do it, and it's nice to be able to engage with you and all the people in your community.
Yeah, and this, I'll tell you, this is the piece Michelle Naray, whose company and brand is The Essential Message, speaks about this in a little different tack, but it's essentially really speaking the same thing, that these things, who you are at your core, you know, if you would just uncover it, unleash it, let it free, set yourself free, who you really are, is what's most compelling, what's most attractive, and what everyone wants most.
Yeah.
So your message is so key to conscious entrepreneurs, Mike, and we need to keep hearing it over and over and over and over again, that not only is it okay to be who we are, but it's the only thing that will really deliver us a vibrant business.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know, you're preaching to the choir, but I agree, and I think it's important.
I know. We're singing the same song. That's why we're in unison here.
Yes, I love it.
Thank you, Mike, so much for being with us, and thank you, everyone, for being at the Conscious Business Telesummit. We have another call later on today, so come on back at 4 o'clock and get some more great information, great content, great speakers. Thank you, Mike, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.